in Washington, D.C. as a precursor to a march and rally that was held in the Washington Mall the next day for reparations. The cause and responsibility for reparations rest on all of those who have benefited, whether directly or historically, from the slave trade in this country, or those who continue to fight the yoke of oppression. It is a collective battle for justice and human rights, which we all must engage in. And with that, I'd like to thank you for listening to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg, going out with Baba Doc in the background. We want our money. We want our reparations. And with that, we get ready for Matthew Finch, who is going to be hosting a very special and important program on governance at WBAI. Thank you for listening.
Coming to town. Last Christmas, when this musical treat played for a limited engagement, the critics insisted that it be returned for an open engagement, calling it delightful and charming, and the Village Voice cheered that Little Ham is a jewel, the best-sung show in town, capable of exceeding your expectations of delight. And the first performance at the John Houseman Theater on Wednesday, September 11th, will be just for us, the WBAI audience. It's $25 a ticket, and we can usher in Langston Hughes' Little Ham together. Call us at 212-255-4834 and get aboard to see Langston Hughes' Little Ham. Curtain is 8 p.m., and the John Houseman Theater is at 450 West 42nd Street. All proceeds that night go to WBAI. The phone number again, 255-4834. That's Little Ham on September 11th.
The Pro Libertad Freedom Campaign invites all justice-loving people to join the Freedom Challenge for death row journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal. We pledge to raise $10,000 for Mumia's legal campaign. 20 years on death row and still no justice. Join our challenge by raising money and attending our freedom celebration Saturday, August 24th at St. Mary's Church, 521 West 126th Street in Harlem. We have poetry, music, food, and the love of freedom. Join us in this Freedom Challenge celebration. That's Saturday, August 24th, 4 to 8 p.m. at St. Mary's Church in Harlem. For tickets and information, please call Pro Libertad at 212-927-9065. That's 927-9065. Let's free Mumia.
Time is now 4 minutes past the hour of 8 in p.m., and you're listening to a listener-sponsored radio station, a community radio station, and part of the Pacifica network of radio stations, the oldest listener-sponsored community-based non-commercial radio network in the United States of America. That's all a fancy way of saying, but this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. This spot here, 8 o'clock, in the evening. It's 8:04, in fact. Normally and regularly these days, you would hear Scott Somer and his beloved program, interactive program, Housing Notebook. On this particular night, Scott is away from New York City, and we're taking advantage of the time donated. And I want to make that very, very clear as you hear these various so-called bylaws programs coming to the air, that there are certain producers who are freely willing to donate the time that is allegedly under their parvenu specifically for this purpose. And when they do so, we want to be very clear and acknowledge their commitment and their generosity towards the listenership and towards the future of this radio station and its network. So big thanks to Scott Somer. Housing Notebook will be back next week. This is part of an ongoing series of discussions on bylaws and governance within a changing order within the Pacifica National Radio Network. I'm Matthew Finch. I'm sitting in this evening in the last of these 3 one-hour formats that we've been bringing to you early Friday morning, 8 a.m., Sunday at 11 a.m., and today at 8 p.m. ends the last for the next few weeks of the one-hour bylaws programs. Next week, we'll be moving into the talkback slot, and over the next 2 weeks, we will be going long form, and that will mean a lot more time for listener participation, since we will be on, I suspect, can't promise it to you, but Mondays, the next certainly the next Monday from 3 to 5 p.m., with a number of guests talking about these issues and inviting many listener perspectives on the line at our number, which I'll give you in just a moment. This forum exists to try to present to you some of the issues that have been ongoing away from the listenership, away from the audience, with certain active listeners on the inside. And the goal of these programs is to bring those of you listeners who, for one reason or another, can't be on the inside of these empowerment-driven discussions, a chance to get a little farther on the inside. What we're trying to do tonight is to complete these 3 specific hours and to bring you some voices that haven't been heard in the large form, as next week we'll move into perhaps a more spirited set of debates over some of these issues. We're going to open up the lines eventually, and I fully suspect we'll be joined by a number of people who have been listener activists, listeners who are not allied to a particular committee or camp, but who have been taking note of this, also perhaps members of local and national boards. But we want to begin it with 2 people who have been doing their work away from the glory, and who come, let me put it very clearly, from a position of commitment towards listener sponsorship and for non-commercial radio, but who have various views on the topic. And those 2 people I bring to you right now, their names are Mark Sanborn, who is a member of one of the earliest formed WBAI Friends Committees, and who has remained active within listener groups for more than 2 years, and probably is a listener. Mark, I told you, correct me when I am wrong, goes back a long way with this radio station. We're also joined by Bertolt Reimer, who is part of the election committee, and also goes back a fairly long way as a listener and an engaged listener and listener activist. We will also be joined on the phone in the fullness of time by a number of other people, listeners without portfolio, board members and national board members, as the calls come in. But we wanted to open in these 20 minutes with the 2 of you just to speak about a few issues. One of them, as listeners, and I'll say that I'm acting as a moderator, but I approach some of these issues as many listeners do. I'm trying to parse out what are the fault lines, what are the camps, but especially what is the future, what is the practical future offered me as a listener by the various models being shown. It appears to me, and I invite the both of you to correct me when I'm wrong about this, that there are issues of representation in very present debates over how to best represent the support system for the radio station. And then there are issues of how those who are represented are to interact on the ground with the people who actually make the radio minute to minute. It appears to me that those are two very different discussions. Often we have gotten, it appears to me personally, tied down in issues of how people are to be represented, but have not talked about what the power sharing issue is when it comes to the making of this radio, hour by hour, day by day, year by year, into the future. I know in terms of representation, there's an ongoing discussion between the two of you as individuals and between many other so-called camps. But could we begin instead with a discussion of when the representation is determined, how do they interact with the ground, with the rank-and-file producer and the actual sound of this radio station? I'd like Bertolt Reimer to begin with you with a few thoughts, and then we'll turn to Mark Sanborn, and eventually we'll open up the lines to some other people. Bertolt.
Okay. First, I'd like to say that I believe my proposal would be effective if and only if listeners are empowered to vote for the entire board. And that's basically one of the main point of differentiation between our proposal and the other proposal. There are basically two basic views, and then there are differentiation and variations. We would propose a proportional representation which basically brought to fore Adam Clayton Powell in the 1930s and the first communist in a New York assembly. Then after the Democrat and the Republican realized how powerful this whole system was, they voted against it, of course, and that's why we do not have a proportional representation in New York.
Bertolt, that's a discussion that I think goes deeper into national issues, but can you give your perspective at least on how, by whatever means, this body is put into advisory capacity or power, if you will? What will they be empowered to do on the ground to the day-to-day running of the radio station?
Okay, basically the lab, the local advisory board, would be changed into a station board, which would have the power to hire and fire the station manager, and we would have fiduciary responsibilities, and would actually approve the budget and participate actively in producing the budget for the radio station. They would also participate in the program council, and actually all these issues, you know, the lab actually somewhat participate actively or inactively in those activities. However, because the lab is not elected by the listeners, and is not the lab is therefore not totally accountable to the listeners, and we would like the lab to be very powerful, but yet not interfere with the daily programming of the station. So therefore, there would have to be certain criteria instituted at the station, and that would give a guideline to the program director with the program council. And it would be very loose, of course, but, you know, I mean, those guidelines would and should definitely be enforced and applied with the consent, advice of all the producers and their participation and input into the program council.
All right. Now, in the program council is presently constituted, we have a presence from the LAB, and the program council has done very hard work. A lot of people have devoted their time. But the program council, anyone who's been on the council recognizes that it is moving deliberately, and that means very slowly, at a time when the station, in fact, some would say can't afford to move slowly. But it is moving deliberately.
We are in an emergency mode right now after the Christmas call. As you know, there are a lot of things that have been disrupted at the station, and there are certain measures that have to be taken to keep the station going. However, you know, I'm talking about, you know, the future. Mm-hmm. When I'm not here, maybe, that there will be a system of accountability, of transparency, that would more or less, you know, satisfy most producers, listeners, and station board members. Okay, so therefore there would have to be an interactive process by which the station board interacts with the program director or the station manager and the producers as well as the listeners. There has to be an input. It has to be a totally fluid process.
Okay, it's a fluid process. We're going to get into some ideas of how that could work out practically, because what some of us on the ground have learned is that it all sounds good, but since we're all grown-ups and we all have complicated lives, it may take 6 months for those processes to take place, and then we're 6 months late from where we should be. I want to thank you and Bertolt Reimer, who is currently part of the Elections Committee of local WBAI. And I want to turn now to Mark Sanborn, who has been an activist with a number of Concerned Friends groups, and you've been on the air in Berkeley. And again, I want to frame the question to you in the same way I framed it to Bertolt, which is, we understand those listeners who've been listening to these shows that there are many different models of how the listenership is to be represented. But to answer, instead of that at this point, the question, how is that representation of the listenership to be engaged in the running of this station day to day, week to week, higher to higher? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's an excellent question, because you're right. I mean, so much of the focus has been on the specific models of elections, but without knowing what the actual powers of the new boards will be, it's like, well, that's quite significant. And I think a lot of those ideas are still in play. If it's going to be how many more powers from the previous the local advisory boards, it's even the fact that it's still in flux. That's people refer to station boards or sometimes local governing boards, and the question is indeed how much, you know, exactly how much power they will have. And I think the minimum it's agreed, as Bertolt was suggesting, is have control or a major role in the selecting of the general manager and perhaps the program director. But a main thing, at least the people that I've been working with on the elections model are concerned about, is that whatever powers the new board has, that the people who work for the station, the programmers, the people who provide the content.
I'm sorry, and by new board, you're talking about a local advisory board or a national?
Well, both, actually. I mean, okay. Whatever comes out of the elections process will be some form of a local board, and then that will feed into a national board. And obviously the national board has, you know, supervises the entire Pacific Foundation, but in terms of, per your question about on the ground at each station and what kind of role the new boards would have, certainly me and a number of the people that I've been working with think there certainly should be a hands-off element, in the sense that the producers should be allowed the day-to-day autonomy and control over what they do, as you would allow any work site. It is a work site. And I think there are some listeners who, because of the coup period, and some of them have feelings that some of the producers didn't do enough about the coup, that they are concerned that the listeners ultimately have a fairly certain amount of direct control over what goes out over the air, and that would be exercised through the new board, in their view. And we, certainly I, don't think that's a good idea. I mean, I think you do have to give the producers the autonomy and to do their day-to-day work. And I think the main function of the new boards is to provide community input into the programming.
Bertolt, do you want to add on to anything that that Mark Sanborn has said before we go on?
Actually, I agree with Mark Sanborn on all of these issues. I think, though, there might be a misinterpretation of what the listeners want as far as day-to-day control of the producers. I'm on the other side of the group that Mark Sanborn is.
Well, let's just say that many audiences aren't seeing this in terms of factions just yet.
Some
want to hear your ideas before they begin to take sides on this.
Yeah, I think that the listeners really want to make sure that there's a democratic process at the station so that the rift that allowed Utrecht to take over and separate different groups and factions does not ever happen. So how that's done, I do not think it's that's done through listeners taking control of every single show. I think it has to be done, just like Mark said, to the board having some kind of power to work out some criteria and for the democratic process of whatever's happening at the station and being able to enforce whatever the program directors or the station managers does not actually put into place. One of the ways to do that would be to the evaluation of shows, the evaluation of what's going on and by what body. That's also a difficult question to answer. The producer would have to be actively involved in defining what body and how that body is structured.
Those producers who care to be actively involved, because just as with listeners, some are actively involved, some are doing everything they can and enjoying the station from the involvement and engagement that they have, which may be far less than others. But yet, both sets of listeners have to be served. Both sets of producers are valuable. We're speaking right now. This is a special edition of Housing Notebook. We're talking bylaws. I'm Matthew Finch, and I'm sitting here with two gentlemen who've been working on bylaws, elections, and a number of issues in and around WBAI and Pacifica for a number of months here. We're joined by Mark Sanborn and Bertolt Reimer, who have both put in their time for a number of months, if not years, as activists and as listeners and as loyal supporters. We'll be taking your calls. And when we go to the calls, I want to give some disclaimers and some provisos, because this is not a report to the listener. This is much more an invitation to those of you listeners and participants, including producers out there who want to put forward some of your ideas. It has seemed to me, listening to this, that my great frustration is, can we get down to cases? Can we get down to cases? Now, there are models that both of you have studied very deeply, and each of you feel strongly about one model and another model, and there are not just two models here for how listeners, how democracy is to be practiced. I would very much rather talk about the practical on-the-ground issues, and I know how to do it, but I think it's unfair at this point if we do not talk about some of those models, because this is what people have been hearing and talking about on the Internet. And I would like just to take a few moments and try to clarify where the distinctions are and where the distinctions aren't in these various models. And we'll hear about at least two and maybe more. And we'll get into more specifics as we take your calls in the next 10 minutes or so. So if you're looking to call in right now, just chill out and listen, and we'll open up the lines to you. I began the last round with Bertolt Reimer, and this time I want to open it up to you, Mark Sanborn, so you can talk about some of your representational models for how the listenership is to be represented on the inside from an empowered position. Is that an accurate use of language, or am I just getting really formal about this?
About empowering? No, that's
okay.
That's a good word.
Okay.
I don't take much personal credit for this. I mean, I worked for Concerned Friends last year as a writer, and then when we won the station back, I stayed involved, and then obviously the governance issues became, the next big thing. And I've been working with the Community for Progressive Radio, which is a African ancestry collective with producers and listeners and activists both in New York and the other Signal areas.
In what sense is this an African ancestry collective that you've been working with?
You're
lighter than I am.
No, I'm not a member. I'm saying we've received the documents that have been written so far on the so-called constituency or inclusion model, as we now prefer to call it. Mimi Rosenberg has sort of taken the lead in trying to concretize some of these ideas. And I've worked with her as a writer, and we've hashed some of this out. But I think the genesis for finding ways to include, specifically include, oppressed communities in the election process and allow them a degree of self-determination to get representatives on the new boards, we received input, and the ideas for that came out of the Community for Progressive Radio and other concerned people of color. We've written a number of documents on this model, and I think the thing that should be made clear at the beginning is that it's not an either-or thing. Most people have heard of the KPFA model, which is the model that was developed in Berkeley, and they've already had two elections for their local advisory boards out there using the model, and the legal settlement that we're operating under, Pacifica, calls for that model to be the starting point for discussions of governance. Doesn't mean you have to use it. It just means there's something to start with. So, indeed, we started with that. But a lot of the discussion that I've seen on some of the listservs suggests that people perhaps have not read some of the material that we've written because they seem to think that we're suggesting this inclusion or constituency process would replace the KPFA model. And in fact, what this calls for, it's a way of enhancing or augmenting the KPFA model, which essentially would, in which the voters, the voter list would be subscribers and volunteers, people who either volunteer a certain amount of labor, normally during the marathons, answering phones, that kind of thing, or still the vast bulk of them would be subscribers who've paid money during the marathons.
And we've heard this in earlier meetings,
right,
that this would be expanded not simply to include those who can give $25 and up, not simply those who can give a few hours of labor per month and up, but it would include other people who are in circumstances where they cannot give that, whether through incarceration or disability. Those are the two classes that have been,
right,
I think, raised the highest.
We would go past that, though.
Okay, please.
And it's not only in terms of, this is even aside from the proposals for the inclusion model, the constituency model, because even if those are not enacted, we believe membership should be defined as listeners, not simply subscribers. And because otherwise, I mean, subscribers tend to be essentially about 10% of your potential listenership. And it obviously, because the bulk of the people will be people who vote, will in that circumstance, if you don't open it up, you're going to have mostly people who are paying money. And that tends to be a class of people who are going to have more disposable income and therefore probably be more middle class and or white than the listenership as a whole. So we would suggest that anyone, a concerned listener, who is interested enough in Pacifica to want to vote, to request a ballot, to register to vote, and who has not been able to contribute money or work for whatever reason, they don't have to be incarcerated or disabled at home, if they're that interested, they should be allowed to vote.
Who makes them interested? Let me call back and I'm sorry, Bertold, for not bringing you in, but this is an issue that was raised a few months ago. I was talking to Janice K. Bryant, who's a member of the National Board, about this. If what you're describing is a participation that is open to everyone, including those who are not members and perhaps even not listeners, what is to prevent Rush Limbaugh from saying, okay, kids, ditto heads, one and all, let's be a part of Pacifica, and let's be a part of this network, and you don't even need to pay them a cent, but you can now participate and direct the network. How doesn't your model leave the door open to that sort of thing?
Can I answer that before?
By all means, yeah.
Yes, that's an obvious concern that people have had in the wake of the coup. And one of the suggestions we had was that if a person is someone who has expressed the will to vote, whether they've called up and requested a ballot or come to the station and wants to register to receive a ballot, we would propose that they simply be have to fill out a survey, which would ask them some fairly basic questions about the station, when they started listening, what shows they listened to, what are their favorite shows. If you want to be really particular, you can say what times, perhaps. So, as simple as three or four questions. That would, unless they were extremely well-briefed stooges for outside powers, that would normally be people who are indeed listeners. And in fact, if you do have Rush Limbaugh or neoliberal Democrats or government agents or whoever who would want to conspire to throw an election, a much easier thing to do would be to spend what for most of those people would be a small amount of money, a few tens of thousands of dollars, buy a ton of $25 subscriptions, and then you get the vote, no questions asked. You don't have to prove you're a listener. You've just paid your $25. So we're suggesting that, and the survey we're suggesting should also be filled out for subscribers. When they get mailed their ballot, they should be mailed the same questions. So all listeners are being treated the same. People who paid and the people who are requesting to vote without paying answer the same questions. And, of course, the survey would double as a terrific outreach and market research tool for the station.
And perhaps we could circulate that among the our colleague producers here.
Mm-hmm.
It might be quite revealing. I want to turn it back to Bertolt Reimer. Bertolt Reimer is part of the election committee. You've been listening to Mark Sanborn. This is a special edition at 8:31 in the evening. Normally you hear Scott Sommer. This is a special edition of Housing Notebook, looking at bylaws and the future of governance. We're very glad to be joined by two people who have put their hours in and devoted their time free of charge through months and, in fact, years now of trying to chart a new course for WBAI and for Pacifica. We will be opening the lines to suggestions, again, from the listenership. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you, Bertolt Reimer, to come in on this and to try to deepen the picture and maybe make clear where some of the differences are in collegial fashion here.
Okay. Since the coup, the Christmas coup, the elections committee, and actually the concerned friends and everyone in the movement have been thinking about this question. I think the elections committee has been really focusing on it. And which is how do you stop a takeover from wherever? We know that WBI already has a list of people who have listened to sponsors, and I do also support Mark Sanborn's idea of having a survey. Actually, we've put forward that idea a while back, and we totally agree on that. It's a difficult question, and it's a question we all wrestle with. We've been wrestling with for the past 2 years. The difference between actually Mark's model and our model in this fashion is that we believe that each listener who is willing and fills out a survey should be able to vote, and should have ultimate say in all the members elected at the lab. Now, there might be disparities in that certain ethnic groups might not be represented properly, and there are different provisions at KPFA, which is in Berkeley, and also in KPFK, which is in Los Angeles, where they've had different diversity factors and so forth and so on. However, the proportional representation would actually guarantee almost that those extraordinary measures, we would not need to use them, hopefully, because if we do an outreach, a proper outreach to the station, then we would have enough people of color and people of I'd like to say people of oppressed communities, different oppressed groups are represented.
What would I'm going to lay this out as a rhetorical question because I think we could spend the next 25 minutes talking about this, but what would outreach be in real terms? You don't have to answer that. I've heard many models of outreach, but it seems to me that the outreach, that there are two forms of outreach. One of them is using the radio signal, and one of them is using the radio personalities and the equipment and taking it out of Wall Street and putting it into the various places where we attempt to put it into on a regular basis, and that means more than a million flyers. I live in a neighborhood where people throw flyers at people, and they're never caught. They land on the street. You know, we don't want to create more trash in this town. We do want to reach people, and the air is one way of doing it, and being there physically is another. We're speaking to both Mark Sanborn and Bertolt Reimer. I wonder if, gentlemen, you can buckle your seatbelts, and we'll take some calls at this time. Before we do that, I want to offer some initial thoughts to the two of you to try to frame some other important issues, because we're going to be looking for suggestions from this listenership, and there are members of local and national boards who will be calling in the next few minutes, I suspect. But any thoughts you want to put out before we go to our listenership? Let's start with you, Mark Sanborn.
Yeah, well, in answer to the point you just made before about what form would outreach take, and I think the two modes you suggested are both necessary and not exclusive, but as part of the model that I've been helping to work on, we've been using more the word inviting in rather than reaching out. And the whole purpose of the inclusion or constituency model is to use all the resources of the station and its listenership, the elections, to invite oppressed communities in, to hold forums at which specific groups, people of color, Latinos, gay, transgendered, bisexual, prisoners, a number of oppressed communities would be able to select their own representatives to the board. These would be in addition to the seats filled by the open elections the open seats that is foreseen in the KPFA model. So in addition to the people elected via that model, you would have a process whereby the communities themselves would be able to come together and caucus, and as opposed to having a very narrow election base, for example, of just subscribers, you would be inviting the community into the process.
But that is assuming that your subscribership is of the oppressor. I mean, if you're talking about the oppressed, what is the opposite? I mean, you seem to be saying that there needs to be representation in addition to the subscribership of the oppressed. Well, what is the subscribership?
Well, the idea is as opposed to having them being selected by just the subscribers, who could in the end just be, if it's not modified terribly, you could end up with a few thousand actual participants who are subscribers, who very well might, as I said before, may tend to be whiter and more middle class than this listening area as a whole, as opposed to having the communities themselves select their own representatives. Therefore, the communities, through these meetings and assemblies, which would be, you know, involve all kinds of activist groups of the various communities, almost all of whom certainly in this area will have heard of WBAI and be aware of its role, and they would be participating because they want to participate. And it would be, for example, I was down in Washington this weekend for the reparations demonstration, and a number of the speakers down there were making the point is, you know, they've gotten, forget affirmative action, they're interested in self-determination at this point. And right now, affirmative action in terms of American society as a whole seems to have gone out the window. And the KPFA model is sort of patterned on affirmative action in the sense that there are diversity quotas, which came into effect in the first KPFA election, in which case certain people of color or women who did not receive the most votes actually became board members. And the ultimate, the diversity goal there is you have to have 50% women and or people of color. But those are very broad categories. Our model has specific constituents would be not only be guaranteed, but they'd be being selected by their own members of their community, and they would be responsible to them. And it would also involve the community in the pre-election process and the coalition building and the caucusing, as opposed to just casting one essentially anonymous vote for people you might hardly not know.
With the understanding that those members of those communities would be as familiar with the radio station as any producer is.
Well, certainly most listeners. I mean, if the station puts out a call and organizes a number of community forums around the city, I don't imagine too many the people who would want to participate in it and who would want to run to be a constituent representative would clearly have to know something about the station. And mm-hmm. I think, unlike some of the other stations where they've during the period of the coup, where they became estranged from the activist groups in the areas, I think most progressive activist groups and community groups in New York City have heard of WBI and would like to be invited to come on in, and that's what we propose.
I want to turn to Bertolt Reimer. Before I do, I want to give out our phone number. There are a number of people calling, and we are going to open up the phones very, very soon. With the understanding that what we're seeking from you is, as I said on Friday morning, this is not a report to the listener, so we're not talking about individual programs or direction of programs, personalities. Those things belong to a programming report to the listener. But to invite those of you listeners, and especially those of you engaged listeners, whether we've heard your voice recently or not, to bring some of your ideas into the picture. The number to do that is area code 212-209-2900. I see some of you are lighting up. We'll be going to that very shortly. And as you do line up, let me turn it back to Bertolt Reimer of the Elections Committee here at local WBAI for your thoughts.
Yes. Actually, the latest point by Mark is exactly at the heart of the difference between the two approaches. I would answer to Mark. First of all, we should just trust our listeners. There will also be close to a third of the board members, maybe more, maybe less, depending on the votes, on the board, which would eventually serve as a balance to keep from any kind of takeover by some hostile forces.
A third of our board members on the board, a third of locals on the national board, is that what you're saying?
Local on the local board would be producers.
Okay.
And therefore a third on the national board.
Right.
Yeah.
But we understand, or perhaps I should say I understand, that there are producers here who don't know much of anything about this air. Let's not hide anything from the listeners. There are some producers who don't even listen to their own programs, much less the rest of the station. That should not be a secret to anyone listening to us right now.
Okay. Also, my major opposition to this point is, in theory, this is a great theory. I mean, in Cuba, there's a Foucault theory, and Che Guevara, basically, every street would elect a leader, and two streets would choose a leader among those two leaders, and so on, until they elect the president. But how do you determine, out of the thousands of progressive or so-called progressive groups in New York, which one is worthy to represent, to have a seat at WBAI? You can go on and on. There are thousands of them. Let's assume there are over 20 different Hispanics groups in New York, and you want to have two reps to represent those 20 Hispanics. How do we determine that? You have the Colombians, the Puerto Ricans. It's a very unpractical situation.
Well, Bertolt, what would the alternative to that be if you want a fuller representation?
The alternative to that would be that, well, first of all, we have to look at the long run. You know, the producers, as you said, are going to have to be involved in reaching out to the listeners and bringing them in, okay? I've tried to do some outreach, and I tell you this is not my forte. It's a very difficult thing to do. So those who are very active and who have been doing this at WBAI, a lot of producers for the past many years, would may be able to lead that movement. What I suggest is right now, the election proportional representation is the best thing we do have. Each listener would vote for all candidates that are on the ballot, and then they would vote for them by choice, as far as their first, second, and third choice. So which means that each listener would have actually a say in electing every single member of the board that gets elected. And the way that works is it divides the vote of the listeners so that any small groups would have a better chance of being represented because they have a greater say in electing the in electing the board members. The other thing that we have to be worried about is basically the fact that if I, as a Haitian American, decide to take a list of the 3,000 Haitian that I have on my mailing list that I used to do parties with in my younger age, and ask them to sign a petition and come up with them as my constituency. You know, how do you check that? You know, furthermore, even if you have a very progressive group or a group that's semi-progressive, you know, let's say like a union, and you have the union leader asking the members to sign a petition to, you know, to represent the union at WBAI board, this person elected or nominated by the union would represent the needs and aspiration of the union at WBAI, not WBAI's mission. And the needs of that union may not be all the time in coalescence with WBAI.
Well, if I could summarize something of both you're saying, and Mark, I see you wanting to get in on this, but we're getting towards the end. Before we go to listeners, obviously every move towards greater representation has its attendant hazards. So I am assuming that although you disagree on a few issues, we're all in the same boat here in that representation is going to be a hazardous road. How do we do it without making the place more vulnerable than it had been in the past? Folks, you're listening to a special edition of Housing Notebook. Scott Sommer will be back with you, or a substitute back with you, next week. I'm Matthew Finch, and I'm sitting in. And for the next 10 minutes, my apologies to you listeners. We're going to try to bring some other voices onto the air right now. I gave out the phone number. You can try calling us at 212-209-2900. Again, this disclaimer, this proviso, this is not a report to the listener. We're not talking about specific programs or personalities. We're seeking ideas and reflections on this ongoing process. We're joined here right now by two people who put their hours in, neither of them having seen a penny for their labors. We're joined by Bertolt Reimer of the Election Committee and Mark Sanborn, who comes out of the Concerned Friends groups but has done work beyond that, looking at what's commonly called the constituency model and helping to co-author some rather central essays and think pieces on that. And I'm Matthew Finch. We have other friends in the studio, and this is part of an ongoing process. And we want to include you, and you've been holding, and you are on the air with us right now. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having this program, and especially for giving the two speakers a chance to compare some of the points here. One of the problems that I'm having is understanding how in this constituency model, which is really a model that doesn't allow the lab members to be elected by the listener subscribers, but rather to be appointed by groups of interested people. If in fact these constituent groups are interested enough, if they hear a call on the air and they're interested enough to come together to meet,
should I jump in?
The station. No, I haven't finished my question yet, if you don't mind. To meet at the station. How come they can't just vote like everybody else? You know, one person, one vote. I mean, we have the elections policy does have provision for people who can't afford to vote. So that's not an issue, that they couldn't afford it and they would be kept from voting. They certainly wouldn't be. What's the difference?
What is the difference? Mark Sanborn, you wanted to answer
I'm wondering if some people have not only read what we've written or listened to what I was just saying. They're going to have the elections they want, the KPFA model. That is going to happen. We are proposing an additional process. And to answer Berthold's point earlier, we're not talking about groups selecting their own people. The idea is the station would encourage as many groups possible in a particular constituency to come, and there would be more groups and individuals involved. They couldn't just pick one of their own. They would have to determine a way to select their own representative. They would have to caucus with each other and devise some species of direct democracy, whether it's inclusion or direct voting, and they would choose someone that way. But these would be members in addition to the regular members. So we're not talking about subverting the election or taking the votes away from the subscribers. Of course they're going to be able to vote. We're proposing something in addition to augment the process.
All right, thank you. And thank you, caller. We're gonna move on in the time we have. This is WBAI. This is a bylaws special. The last for the next 2 weeks of the one-hour format will be moving into the talkback slot next week, in all likelihood for the next two Mondays, as Hugh Hamilton, our talkback host, is out of town, and using that time and that audience to go over some of these issues. But we want to include you in the time we have, in the 8 minutes we have, and you have been selected for immortality on this topic. Good evening.
Number one, I think all the ideas suggested, especially the surveys, are good ideas. I would say, first of all, the idea Bernard McFadden suggested in the 20s that every law that's put in place should be put on a trial basis for a couple of years, see how it works out, and then vote on it again, whether you want to make it permanent or extended. Second of all, you have a program that's a showcase, so listeners can hear what a proposed program would be like, so they can vote on whether they want that format to be regularly scheduled. Third of all, some programs could be determined by subscribers, and some could be determined by people like from the disabilities community and so on. If you're going to do the survey, that sounds like a great idea. I would suggest not just three or four questions, but let us have input as to what kind of questions should be on the survey.
All right. Thank you, caller. Thank you very much. I think we can move on to the next caller's observation and point, right? Our phone number here at WBAI in these final 4.5 minutes is really immaterial because the lines are full, so we're going to bring the next caller up, and good evening. The floor is yours. Hello.
Hi. I'm sorry. This is Ray LaForest of the Bylaws Committee. I want to get in time. I know you have, it's very precious. What I wanted to suggest is that as the callers are reaching out to us, that they give us feedback in terms of whether they feel that they're fairly knowledgeable, whether they feel that whatever suggestion they have in terms of changing the program directed toward them, whether they feel it goes above their head and they would rather start with, you know, more elementary issues. For example, in one of the shows we've done a couple of weeks ago, a caller suggested that she had heard enough about the history and that she was getting bored, and that she just wanted the issues, the specific mechanism and issues around election and selection of people and other issues about bylaw revision, rather than discussing what brought us there and some of the basic issues to help us, you know, refine the shows in the future. Okay, I congratulate you on a great show, and I'm listening. Take care.
All right, thank you, and that's Ray LaForest. Thank you, Ray. And we want to move right away and try to get a few more voices in here in the limited time we have. Really, a few more callers that we can include. Yes, yes, that's you.
Oh, you know, there's a big struggle, and all the listeners had to get up and march around, and you know, a lot of the trade scenes seem to be still in place, and there's like an absence of political distinction between the different tendencies, just bureaucratic stuff that turns people off. I was listening to radio the other day. There was a piece in the news department supporting the cops getting a raise, you know, after all this amadou and everything like that. I mean, my God, you know. So we really have to fight for a revolutionary struggle with BAI and get rid of all the old utricians, people who, you know, before, during, and after basically have not lost any power, you know. They're just hanging on there. And I mean, we can hear all that pro-cop stuff on Curtis and Kuby, you know. So, I mean, what are we fighting for? you know, if we're just going to put up with this.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your comment. This is WBAI New York. We probably have time for one or two more calls, and this would be, no, that would not be you. Let's try you at this moment. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Okay. A little shy. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, boy. It sounds like the usual shows. All right. Good evening. Are you with us on the air? Hello? I'll tell you, this has never happened in my life on radio. Good evening. Are you on the air?
Hi. Let me get away from the radio. I just wanted to ask a question about the background for all this. Is there a... Because, you know, I am afraid of relying entirely upon democracy because of all the things that you have mentioned. Is there a charter, is there a constitution that cannot be overthrown no matter how many Rush Limbaugh people vote? Or, I mean, is there a constitution? Is there a charter?
There is a mission. There is a mission statement. The role of the mission in and the interpretation of that mission in how programming is conducted remains, to some minds, really the reason all of us are here, listeners and staff alike, and past and future.
Is that interpretation under discussion also, as the bylaws are being discussed?
Bertold, you wanted to weigh in on that.
The mission is just a guide, the mission statement. Throughout the decades, the mission statement has served as a guide depending on the situation. You know, during the Vietnam War, right after the Vietnam War, you know, the mission served as an anti-war movement around the civil rights movement. The mission is a mission of progressive politics, of, fighting the oppressors, you know, and then defining what are the oppressed communities and oppressed class, and what are the issues, and what are the interests of those oppressing and how to fight it. And so that's basically it. Nothing is forever. You know, the future of WBAN, of the Pacifica Foundation, will always depend on those who are in charge of it. You know, no matter how we structure the bylaws, you will always have a possibility of people being elected or being chosen and changing it.
That's my point. My point is, to me, there should be a hard kernel at the center of Pacifica that cannot be broken.
Well, I would suggest that one reason for the inclusion model is because, indeed, the U.S. Constitution itself is flouted regularly in times of emergency, and Pacifica survived under its old bylaws, so no matter how well and good a job we do with these new bylaws, what really depends is the people who end up manning the ramparts.
Sure.
And we suggest by bringing in oppressed communities, specifically designating them seats, you're going to have proven activists at the ramparts, because it's the people in the end acting in groups amongst themselves and in unity that can ensure Pacifica will survive, not simply words on a paper, not simply the mission statement that was written in the 1940s.
So how do you guarantee that people are going to act in unity if you keep insisting that they... that they represent only one particular community?
Well, no, they'd be acting in concert, but they'd be representing their own communities, and they'd also be acting together on the board and bringing all these voices together, and they'd certainly all be united by the idea of keeping the station alive and keeping it serving the voice, you know, serving as the voice of the voiceless, and enabling these communities to not only make their own self-determination by representation, but to work together towards
real community.
Yes.
Well, what better note to end on? Real community, perhaps that is the discussion that we'll go into the next decade. We're going to have to wrap it up there. We've been joined by Mark Sanborn and Bertolt Reimer, two unpaid listener activists who have been serving on committees and other groups for a very long time. I want to appreciate both of you for coming in, for your participation previous tonight, and for coming in on, let's be honest, some rather short notice, for which you have my apologies. Those of you who've been listening to these three shows that we've conducted, looking at bylaws and governance issues in the one-hour format, and have not felt that you've had the opportunity to participate, I want to tell you that we will be moving to a two-hour format beginning next week, and in the talkback slot. I fully expect that Monday next week from 3 to 5 p.m. we will be opening